Zoologist Conrad Lorenz first suggested that it is the structure of the baby's face, the relatively large head in proportion to the body, the large eyes and the rosy cheeks, that elicit this response. Morten Kindelbach and Alan Stein from the Oxford University have actually observed that there is a part of the human brain at the front, it's called the, I had to practice this, the medial orbitofrontal cortex, which is highly active when we see the face of an infant child. In fact, the eyeballs react within a seventh of a second when you see a baby in a way that you do not when you see an adult. And that's far too fast for it to be programmed or conscious. So what is it? What is it? Well, psychologists also have a lot to say about the impact of the child on adults. Some argue that it is their innocence that is attractive. You know, when we meet someone for the first time, we're polite, but you've got to get to know them before you let them closer. We don't want to get hurt, and so we take our time with adults. But with babies, it's different. Apart from sucking your fingers or grabbing your glasses, a baby is not going to hurt you. There's an innocence and a vulnerability. And so our defenses drop. We become vulnerable and we find ourselves being drawn toward them. Innocence is attractive. Small is cute. It's just human nature that we find small things cute. Whenever you see something small, you instinctively think it's going to be less harmful, usually, than something that's larger. Even wild and dangerous animals begin life as kittens or cubs or pups. And news of a special birth, even in a zoo, leads to many more visitors. We are drawn to people who are vulnerable and defenseless, especially babies. Even though that you know that as an adult they might grow up and rip you off or devour you. Babies have a habit of drawing us closer, small is cute. But there's a third reason, and that is that genetics creates a bond. Genetics creates a bond. You know, parents tend to find their own babies more cute than anyone else. And even if your baby doesn't exactly look like you, knowing that the baby is made up at least 50% of you creates a powerful bond, even when other adults or even grandparents may grow tired of the nappy smells or the bouts of crying. Genetics creates a bond. But then lastly, psychologists tell us that love is reciprocal. When someone loves us, we feel drawn to that person. And frankly, babies love whoever cares for them. And for that reason, even the most ambivalent parents end up seeing something attractive in their babies. That's why the parental bond is so strong, long even before the baby has arrived. This is the main reason, I believe, that we find babies cute, because they are lovable, they are welcoming, accepting, trusting. They allow us to feel emotions that have become hardened in a cruel, cold world. They show that not everyone is out to get us or hurt us. So I'm sure there is an element of the babies are us instinct in the popularity of Christmas and the story of the birth of Jesus. Christmas is the most popular and the most widely celebrated festival in the whole wide world. So what is it about Jesus and the baby Jesus that draws people of every language, every tribe and every nation to celebrate his birth? I suggest that one of the subliminal reasons is because what we find attractive in babies is a sign of who Jesus is and God's will for our lives. You see, Jesus draws us to himself because of who he is, the way he treated people. Please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9, and I want to invite you to look at some of the names of Jesus that give us a clue for who this person would become and how he would treat others and why he would be so influential in our world today. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in darkness. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Despite Israel's rejection of God's prophets, God's plan was to give his people something more profound than a message. The reference to the humbling of the land of Zebulun and Naphtali refers to the invasion and the annexation of the northern parts of Israel by Tiglath-Pileser. And the way of the sea probably refers to the Mediterranean coast, while the Galilee of the nations can be identified as that area where, on the northern shore of Galilee, where so many other people of other nations came to live, whether as occupiers or traders or refugees. And it was there that the light would shine on all people, the light that would become a supernatural sign. Two chapters earlier, Isaiah had predicted, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Then, that little bit later in Isaiah 9, we're told, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Now notice that the language is in the past tense about a future event. It is because the future is so certain, it's written as if it already happened. It's as if God is saying, "Look forward to it, it is certain, I've already done it." Wonder of wonders, God chose to reveal himself supremely, fully, and finally through becoming a person. God and man in the same person, equally at home in heaven as on earth. And a unique person is given not one, but four names. Wonderful Counselor. That word wonderful is very significant. In Hebrews, it comes from the root pele, almost exclusively used of that which only God can do. Something beyond human capability. Wonder. His pre-existence was wonderful. His conception was wonderful. His birth was wonderful. When the angelic host called out, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill towards men." His birth was wonderful. His life was wonderful. Sinless, yet a friend of sinners. His teaching was wonderful. His miracles was wonderful. His transfiguration was wonderful. His death was wonderful. He lived for others. And when they jeered at him, he said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing." His death was wonderful because he died for you, to reconcile you to God, to redeem you, set you free. His death was wonderful. His resurrection was wonderful. His ascension was wonderful. And his return will be wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. And then you link that with Counselor. Jesus brings God's supernatural wisdom. And it is a wisdom there for the asking. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given you. As your counselor, Jesus brings God's wisdom. As your counselor, he is always available. As your counselor, he gives you his undivided attention. As your counselor, he comforts you through life. As your counselor, he guides you into all truth. Yes, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. But he's given another title, Mighty God. The second title confirms the implication of the first. This child will be divine. Now, for Orthodox Jews, for practicing Muslims and secular skeptics, the belief that Jesus is God in the flesh is anathema. Indeed, that was the very reason the religious leaders crucified Jesus. You being a mere man claim to be God. But Jesus left us no alternative. John's Gospel begins like the creation narrative of Genesis, except that it is Jesus who is the one who does the creating. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Mighty God. Jesus could not have been more explicit. He said, before Abraham was born, I am. He took the name of God to himself over and over and over again. I am the light of the world. I am the vine. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. Every one of those statements was saying, I am your creator. I am your Lord and Savior. Angels and magistrates were sometimes called gods in a subordinate sense. But Jesus is called the Mighty God. Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed all heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. He is indeed Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. This title refers to not only to his divine title, but the character he bears and the manner with which he cares for his children with father-like compassion and tenderness. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. You know, we all have a father. We all have a father. Sadly, some of our fathers denied us at birth. Some of our fathers divorced us in life. And all of us will lose our fathers in death. But not Jesus. Everlasting Father defines his relationship with us. He is literally our Father for eternity. For all eternity, he will deal with us as his children, as a loving father cares for his children. See, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. I think the reason people are drawn to him is because they see in him God's love, unconditional love of a father. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. That word peace means shalom. It means so much more than simply the absence of war and conflict. You know, we should pray for our leaders. Pray for the leaders in Sudan, in Syria, in Iraq, in Afghanistan. Pray for them. They have a really hard task. because they cannot create peace. They can find compromise, they can pacify, they can impose the rule of law, but they cannot bring peace to people's hearts. Jesus is literally the bringer of peace. It is his nature. It is his passion. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. This desire for peace is universal, and it comes to the surface at Christmas when we pray for peace especially. But this kind of peace will only come to our world one person at a time, when we recognize Jesus as the Prince of Peace, the bringer of peace. Peace with God, peace with one another. Having introduced us to our Saviour with these four amazing names, Isaiah concludes his prophecy of the increase of his government and peace. There will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Four names for one unique, special person. Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor, because we are lost and we are blind. Mighty God, because we are weak and powerless. Everlasting Father, because we've been orphaned by our sin. Prince of Peace, because although we deserve God's wrath, he has showered us with his love, his grace, and his mercy. So perhaps now we understand a little better why Jesus attracts more people to himself than anyone else, whether in history or alive today. Perhaps this is why Christmas is the most popular festival in the world. Perhaps this is why, since Jesus became a child to save us, he said, we too must become like little children to be saved. I'll say that again. Since Jesus became a child to save us, he said we too must become little children to be saved. Truly I tell you, said Jesus, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This Christmas, may Jesus indeed be your wonderful Saviour, your advocate, your counsellor, your Prince of Peace. May you truly know that you are his child by grace through faith, safe in his arms. And may he give you and those you care for his love, his joy, and his peace in rich abundance this Christmas and forevermore. Amen.